Chapter 4 of Luke. Sorry. Luke chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 42 through 44. Page number?
1022.
Luke 4. Chris, do you want a bilingual Bible? Okay. There's a couple right up there. The black ones? Yeah.
Can you reach right up here, James? This one?
Exactly. Okay. Thank you. All right. Luke chapter 4, verse 42 through 44. And when it was day, he, that is Jesus, departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we continue to study the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn essential truths about his ministry, his teaching. And we pray today, O Lord, that you would instruct us, especially in his ministry of preaching. So we commit this time to your blessing. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
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 Please be seated. We've been looking at the Gospel of Luke the last few Sundays, and we've looked at several things: his temptation, his anointing of the Spirit, and today we're going to be considering him as a preacher. Now, We also went, about this time last year, we went through the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, and we learned some of these very essential parts of his ministry. He was a preacher, and he was a healer, a teacher, and a deliverer. And so some of these same characteristics of the Messiah are seen here in the beginning of Luke's Gospel. And today we want to focus here particularly on his ministry of preaching. Now, this is a pretty common word among us Christians, preaching and preacher. So what exactly does the word preaching mean? Someone has written, it is, in the New Testament, it is the public proclamation of Christianity to the non-Christian world. And strictly speaking, this word, preaching, speaks of this public proclamation. Other words in the New Testament focus on teaching various things about the Christian life, for example, to the believer. But this public preaching is the proclamation of God's great acts through Christ, through Jesus Christ. This word preaching is used in the New Testament about 60 times, and it's often used in Luke's Gospel. There's another word that we translate in English, which means to bring the good news, to announce the good news, and it's used over 50 times. So the word preaching means to actually to proclaim as a herald. Now, in the ancient world, a herald would be a special person like an ambassador sent by a king to announce news and information to people in various cities. So he was a very important person, and he was expected to communicate the information exactly as it was given to him. Now, forerunners to Jesus' preaching ministry were the prophets in the Old Testament, who often preached to the people of their day regarding their neglect or their rejection of Yahweh God and their living sinful lives following the pagans around them. And then more immediately, forerunner to Jesus was John the Baptist, who preached that the people should repent of their sins and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Preaching, someone has said this, preaching is indispensable to Christianity. John R. Stott says, preaching is God's speech, which makes our speech necessary. We must speak what he has spoken, hence the paramount obligation to preach. In other words, God has said something. He's spoken his word to his people. And we need to respond. We must speak to the world what God has spoken in times past. And so this proclamation type ministry is an essential part of the Christian mission in the world. Preaching is something that takes time, effort, work on the part both of the preacher and of the listener. Now, preaching has an auxiliary and supplementary meaning as to instruction in the church. Now, someone has said this, that sermonettes, 10-minute sermonettes, breed Christianettes. Okay. In other words, immature, uninstructed Christians. A book that I recently got called Preacher's Catechism answers this question. What is preaching? And the answer there is preaching is declaring God's truth in Jesus to the praise of his name. Now, James I. Packer, who some of you are familiar with, one of our beloved theologians of contemporary times, having studied the scriptures all his life, says this, the Bible is God preaching. When preaching correctly explains the scriptures, it is not the man alone who speaks. The Bible is God preaching, and preaching the Bible is God speaking. Now, Brother Thabiti Aniabuil says this, preaching is God speaking in the power of his Spirit about his Son from his Word through a man. Now, listen to this text. This is a key text in the New Testament to understand the dynamics of preaching. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said this, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. So these people in Thessalonica, that Greek city, when they heard this man named Paul preaching, they recognized something of authority and truth in his words. And they realized that this was God's truth being shown to them. And they embraced it. And Paul talks about how radically they were changed in the very depths of their being and became fervent servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God himself spoke through Paul's preaching. And the power of his ministry was in the word that he spoke, not in the man. John Calvin wrote this, God has chosen so to anoint the lips and tongues of his servants that when they speak, the voice of Jesus resounds in them. Now, this places an awesome responsibility on us who hear the word taught and preached. And it places an awesome responsibility on the preacher to seek to impart God's truth to his people. But it happens. This whole dynamic event of God speaking to his people through human lips is so important and so powerful in the world and in the church. God communicates his truth and his will through mere sinful human beings, through imperfect pastors and preachers. But it's his word, it's his truth that is perfect, and it has the authority and the compulsion for the listeners to hear, to listen carefully, and to embrace and obey the preaching as it is faithful to the word of God. You see, when preaching takes place, something dynamic is happening in two areas. The preacher is speaking and the listener is listening. The preacher is obligated to study and to proclaim God's truth and its purity, and the listener is required to listen and to evaluate, is this preacher really telling the truth according to the word of God? And if he is, then it's our obligation to heed him, to listen to him, to respond to the Lord, to obey the word of God. Brother Fabiti goes on to say, the preacher never preaches alone when he preaches the Bible. This means that the power of preaching derives from God, not the preacher. And all preaching should be, he says, expositional, that is, explaining the scripture. So what is preaching? Here's a simple definition or description. It's the authoritative proclamation by men of the good news of the kingdom of God that the Lord uses to make the reality and the truth of Jesus Christ known to other men and women. It's the gospel, the good news of the kingdom that God uses to communicate the Christ event, Christ himself, to people through other people. God has ordained that he would make his gospel known through his servants, imperfect people, but the message that they preach is perfect regarding the Son of God. Now, it says in chapter 4 here that Jesus was preaching. He said, I must, in chapter 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. So the content of his preaching was he was preaching about the kingdom of God. Now, we're not going to go into detail today on what the kingdom of God is, because that's a whole vast topic. But let me just mention two or three things about this whole concept of the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. And part of what this means is that the kingdom, the rule of God, had arrived in the person of Christ. And it would become active in people's lives as they repented and believed the gospel. And that it would be consummated, it would be fulfilled. The kingdom of God would be fulfilled in all of its completeness at Christ's return. Now, one of the people that's most known for his teaching on the kingdom of God is George Eldon Ladd. This is one of Brother Mark Barr's favorite people. And Brother Ladd says this about the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is God's sovereign reign. And men and women may enter into the realm of God's reign, as he calls them. And then God's kingdom includes the realm of the age to come, which sometimes we call heaven. where the kingdom of God and its blessings will be fulfilled totally. But the kingdom is here now. It came with Christ. And when people come to faith in him, they're included under his rulership. So there's a realm of spiritual blessing that we enter today and enjoy in part, but there are greater blessings and more fulfillment coming in the future. So sometimes this concept of the kingdom is described as already, not yet. We've already received blessings of the kingdom of Christ, but not yet have we received the fullness. It will be coming. So Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God. Now, the text says, he said, I must preach the good news to the other towns, verse 43, for I was sent for this purpose. So we've considered briefly what preaching is. So let's consider this now, that Jesus was compelled to preach. He says, I must preach the good news. It's not optional. I must preach it. I must go to other towns. I can't stay in this place. He says, for I was sent for this purpose. What was the purpose that God sent him? It was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, this was essential to his messianic mission. You remember, on that day when he was in his home synagogue, that we consider that passage, he opened up the scroll of Isaiah, and he began to read to them from Isaiah 61:1 about the Spirit anointing him to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound. And so he folded up the scroll and said, today this has been fulfilled in your ears. He was saying that I am the one upon whom the Spirit of God would come to bring good news and deliverance and healing. And so, to fulfill the messianic ministry, Jesus had to be a preacher of the good news. So he says, I must go and preach. Now, in addition, he was sent by the Father. This is all tied together. He was sent by the Father with a specific mission to preach, to teach, to communicate God's truth to the people. Jesus came to give a fuller revelation of the invisible God. He said this in John 8:28. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. So Jesus was not acting independently of the Father by any means, but he was preaching and teaching exactly what the Father wanted him to communicate. And he says this in John 12:49, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. So Jesus was given a content of information, of truth, to communicate, to preach, and to teach. He was sent by the Father to deliver this kind of teaching and preaching. And so he had to be about his Father's business. He had to go from town to town preaching the truth of God. Because it was only the truth of the kingdom of God, the arrival of the Messiah, that could free people from sin and Satan. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Now, someone has noted that one of the prominent features of preaching in the New Testament, not only by Jesus, but by his followers, is this divine compulsion from God to get this message out, to proclaim it far and wide. A parallel passage in Mark 1:38 says, Jesus said, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, and that is why I came out. Now, he did do healing. He did deliver people from demons. But he focuses in here and says, the primary reason I came was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. He was under divine compulsion. And this same kind of compulsion was passed on to his followers. His 12 men who were with him saw how urgently he felt the need to communicate the truth of God to the people. And so, after his resurrection and ascension and the pouring out of the Spirit, they began to do the same thing. You remember when Peter and John were arrested and they were ordered to quit preaching in the name of Jesus there in Acts chapter 4. They said, we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. Under threat of persecution, they said, we can't stop speaking about Jesus. That old song says, I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody what God has done for me. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, if I preach the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He had this unction, this burden to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. And he went all around the Mediterranean world doing that. Some said he's turning the world upside down. He was so committed to preaching the good news of the kingdom found in Jesus Christ. See, this sense of compulsion, of divine urgency is indispensable. It's essential to true preaching. It's God himself, someone has said, breaking into the affairs of man and confronting him with a demand for decision. This kind of preaching often meets with opposition. And Paul lists in 2 Corinthians 9 various ways in which he suffered for the gospel. Another mark of New Testament preaching was the utter sincerity of the preachers and their lack of showmanship. Their heartfelt desire was to bring glory to God and truth and salvation to mankind. Paul said he wasn't trying to flatter people. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He was preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified in simplicity and in the power of the Spirit. He wasn't trying to use flowery language to impress people. He just wanted to preach the simple gospel of the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coming again of Jesus Christ. Well, we've considered what preaching is, and the fact that Jesus was compelled to preach, as were his followers. And then let's consider this. Jesus, he was continually preaching. In chapter 3, it says in verse 18, with many exhortations, he preached good news to the people. And then chapter 7, verse 22, it says, he answered them, Jesus answered them, and said, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. So he was doing all these ministries, including preaching. And chapter 8 of Luke, verse 1 says, he went through their cities and villages proclaiming, same idea as preaching, same concept, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Chapter 9, verse 6, with many exhortations, he preached good news to the people. It says in chapter 20 of Luke, verse 1, one day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and scribes came up and said, "Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? And who is it that gave you this authority?" Well, Jesus said the Father gave him that authority. And so as we look at the Gospels, we see that he was continually preaching the gospel of the good news of the kingdom that had arrived in his person. And his disciples, the apostles, continued this preaching ministry. They understood the necessity of preaching to accomplish God's work among humans. 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul writes, "For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, through their own wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." So though the gospel may sound like folly, may sound ridiculous to some people who think they're so smart, it is really the way that God saves people who are humble enough and submissive enough to listen to the message and respond. Now, there's a very interesting passage here in Titus chapter 1, written by Paul to Titus. And he says this in verse 2, "God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I've been entrusted by the command of God our Savior." So he's saying God manifested his will, his word, through the preaching which had been entrusted to Paul. Now, as we know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament letters, and he was the greatest defender and proclaimer of the Christian faith that ever lived. And he knew the importance, the power, the cruciality of preaching. And when God saved him, he sent him out into the Gentile world, and he continued to declare the kingdom of God in the person of Christ. And through him, the word of God was manifested through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. He had a unique calling and ministry in the church. And his message, the content of his gospel, is not hidden or lost. It's been recorded in the New Testament epistles. Now, God uses human beings to communicate his truth to other human beings. He doesn't write it in the sky. He doesn't shout from heaven. But he uses you and me to communicate the gospel to other people. Now that's rather kind of God to do that, to give us such a job, such a responsibility, such an entrustment, that he would trust his precious eternal gospel to the likes of us to carry it to other people. One beggar sharing bread with another beggar. That's the way we put it sometimes. Paul wrote this, and we read this earlier in the service. "How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" You see, if you've got a people living, say, in a tribal area in the dark jungles of Indonesia or Papua New Guinea, they've got to hear the gospel. God has ordained that this is the way they will be saved, through hearing the gospel. But if we don't send a preacher there, they cannot hear the gospel. It's just plain facts. We didn't set up the rules. God did, the way he operates. So that's why we send preachers, missionaries to various parts of the world, because we know that the gospel has to be communicated in the power of the Spirit for people to hear and to be awakened spiritually. when the Holy Spirit convinces them of the truth of what's being preached and draws them, woos them into belief, into the kingdom of God. Well, these apostles of Christ carried on this authoritative declaration of the arrival of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ was taken from them, went back to heaven, poured out his spirit, and his spirit was not weak or useless in their lives. The spirit helped them remember the teachings of Christ and to go forth and imitate their Lord as they carried the gospel throughout the world, even as far as India. The Apostle Thomas went to India. It says in Acts 5:42, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. That is, the Messiah is Jesus. The one promised in the Old Testament, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's none other than Jesus. Philip went down to Samaria. Acts 8:12, he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people were baptized, both men and women. Acts 14:12, we see Paul and his companions preach the gospel in lower Turkey area. They went from city to city preaching the gospel. And then in Acts 17, they went to Athens. And some of the philosophers there, people who prided themselves on their wisdom of the world, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, talked with Paul, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." They never heard that before. Who is this Jesus that Paul's preaching? Who rose from the dead, he says. Well, Paul was indefatigable, unceasing in his proclaiming ministry. It says there when he was under house arrest in Rome, Acts 28:13, what was he doing? He was proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. He was under a divine mandate, a compulsion to preach the gospel. And many people came to his house that he had rented and were listening as Paul preached the gospel up until the time, according to tradition, when his head was cut off outside of Rome. So, we've learned a little bit about preaching today. We see Jesus as being compelled under divine necessity to preach. Then he continued to preach throughout his ministry, and that his disciples continued this ministry. And then, lastly, preaching the good news of the kingdom is an essential part of our churches, of the church's ministry today. You see, Paul writes again in Romans 16. He's writing to the church at Rome. Now, let's just put ourselves in the place of the Roman church. So, he's writing to Good Shepherd Community Church. And he says this: "Now to him who's able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only God, only wise God, be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen." So, what's he saying to you, local church? He is able to strengthen you. according to Paul's gospel, according to the preaching of Jesus Christ. This is a mystery that was hidden, but revealed through the scriptures, and it's being made known to all the nations. This divine compulsion that Christ had, that the apostles has been laid upon us. We are not exempt from this calling to carry the gospel to our generation. Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. I charge you, Timothy, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing kingdom, here's his charge, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So here's a man who had been with Paul a lot, and been instructed by Paul, was very dear to Paul. But Paul charges him with a solemn obligation. He says, I charge you, Timothy. Before God, I charge you. Before Jesus, who's the judge of living and dead, and is going to come back, I charge you, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the gospel. Preach the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. Well, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the depths of our being. And that same charge laid upon us today, to proclaim, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. What is preaching? It's the authoritative proclamation by men of the good news of the kingdom of God that the Lord uses to make the reality and truth of Jesus Christ known to other men and women. So what do we need to do? We need, first of all, to listen to Jesus preaching, to read his preaching, to listen to it as men of God open up the scriptures to us. We need to listen to the apostles' preaching by reading it and by listening to others opening up their teachings. And we need to listen to the preachers and the history of the church. Church has been around for nearly 2,000 years, and there have been some great preachers and teachers in the church. A wealth of edification, encouragement, and strength for us. We can't hear their voices, but we can read their written materials. And then finally, we need to understand what is happening when a man is preaching the truth of the Word of God. God is using that man to communicate his truth to us. And so, as the preacher is faithful to the Word and opening it up clearly and correctly, we need to hear the voice of God himself speaking to us. Heed it. Obey it. Put it to work. Fulfill it in our lives. We need to be like the Bereans, who Paul preached to. He commended them because they checked everything out in the scriptures to be sure what he was saying was on target. Well, God, as I said, is very kind and condescending to communicate the great truth of the gospel to us humans through other humans. But this is what happens when a man preaches the word of God. Now, men stand in the pulpit and preach the word of God, but women and young people share the word of God, preach the word of God to their friends and neighbors and family. So it's not just preachers who have the solemn obligation, but all of us have been called to proclaim the good news of the arrival of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus to those whom the Lord brings us in contact with. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this divine urgency, this compulsion that Christ had to preach the good news of the kingdom focused in his person. And Lord, his disciples, his apostles took up the mantle and continued to proclaim the arrival of the kingdom in Christ. And now the baton has been handed to us for our generation. Lord, help us to take up the mantle, to take the baton, and by your grace to run with it. We ask you to open up doors so that we can proclaim the gospel to those who need to hear it. And Lord, help us to take advantage of great preaching and to hear your voice and your truth speaking through the preachers and to receive that word for our own edification and knowledge and spiritual growth. We thank you. We bless you today. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.